Heavenly Father, we worship you. Truly, Father, you're worthy of everything. And we come once again to submit our hearts and our lives before you. Come under the covering of our spiritual fathers. And we come to turn over this Bible study over unto you. I recognize my inability, Lord, to teach and to preach and to minister this word as you want it to be done. Lord, and so I strip myself of confidence alone, Lord, in my preparation. Put my confidence in your mercy to enable me to use this preparation effectively, that I'll be an oracle of God. And so you'll anoint my heart and my lips afresh, so that your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it flow in simplicity, in clarity, in the power and the love of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let it, Lord, come. Let it accomplish an internal, eternal work, Lord, in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, including my own, in the name of Jesus. That our wills will be more submitted to your will. Our minds, Father, illuminated with the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And our emotions controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, to enable us to be doers of all that we hear, not being hearers only. So we'll go from one level of glory to a higher degree in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask as I dock under the covenant of my fathers that you will back this word with your power. And everywhere it goes throughout the earth, you will use it to break yokes. Use it to open blind eyes. Lord, use it to strengthen the feeble knees. Use it, Lord God, to set the captives free. So that, Father God, Lord, we can experience the liberty that you have prepared for us in Christ Jesus in all of his fullness, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for myself, Lord, particularly help me, Lord. Have mercy on my infirmities, so that I will not speak of myself. Lord, I will seek the honor that comes from you alone. And I will speak to honor you and to honor my fathers in the name of Jesus. And I will be a pure chalice, so your word will flow, Lord, from you to me, through me to your people. And I'll be a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things new and old, to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, in our last lesson, we're looking at Colossians verses 2 to 5. And we saw in our last lesson that true wealth is not limited to money or physical and material financial resources. That true wealth is creative wisdom and understanding that comes from God. And that true wealth is reserved for sons of God. So God wants us to grow from children to become sons, so that the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for his sons. Amen. And so God wants us as sons to have that spirit, that fullness of the Spirit without measure, which we obtain when we have fully perfected the character of Christ. You know, then we receive that fullness of the power of the Spirit without measure, and with it comes creative wisdom and knowledge. No, incredible photographic memory. Spoke about all that, you know, and we're not going to go over it again. But the essence is that this is true wealth. Amen. Okay, and God, and this wealth, creative wisdom is going to bring great material and financial wealth to the church. Amen. And by extension to Nigeria. Amen. Because the church is in the midst of the nation. Amen. Okay. And we saw in our last lesson that we need to believe this. It's so important that you believe what God said. The Bible says, if you believe the Lord, you shall be established. But you must believe his prophets so you can prosper in the purpose that the prophets are declaring. And we thank God for the word of the prophets that have gone forth. We're just echoing it. And we saw in the last lesson that, you know, the same way God did in Samaria, you know, in the days of old, when the prophet came and said that by this time tomorrow, an ass's head will sell for so much. And there was a man that leaned on the king's hand, so he was an influential politician. He must have been, and thought, how on earth, even if God opened up the heavens, how shall this be? And we're saying that we should not be like that. We should believe. Amen. And we saw that God used four lepers to bring about the manifestation of that word. And we saw also then last time that there is a four leper company. Amen. Of spiritual fathers, mature spiritual fathers, carrying the ark of the glory of God. And they are invading the camp of the enemy. Amen. With their spiritual children. And they're going to get great spoil. And they say that the same is going to be true for Nigeria. Is going to be a nation born at once. Instant social and political and financial change in Nigeria is coming in the name of Jesus. And we need to believe it, because we are the agents God is using to bring it to come to pass. We also saw that it's very important that Satan is trying to beguile us. He wants to beguile Christians. To beguile means to charm and to bewitch. That's the word. Ensnare, you know, and lure you away, you know, from the truth of the gospel. And you know, Satan is smart. So we need to be smarter in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we saw in our last lesson that, you know, there are many messages today that mention the name of Jesus, but they are against the purpose of Jesus. Amen. And we saw that anything that is not complete, the Bible talks about all the counsel of God. Anything that is not complete, you know, in the full gospel of the whole gospel, the whole counsel of God, or you know, has a particular emphasis, you know, one has to be extremely careful, because it can take you away from your end. And that is why it's a false gospel. Not that it doesn't mention the name of Jesus, but it's not taking you to fulfill the purpose of Christ. It comes in the name of Christ, but it's against the purpose of Christ. What is the purpose of Christ? The salvation of our souls. So God wants our souls to be so. Anything that's going to make you more carnal, make you more dependent on your feelings, make you more jealous, more envious, more covetous, is working against the purpose of Christ. You know, and we need to be aware. And we saw in that last lesson, in Proverbs 19, verse 27. Please give that to that only scripture we look at. Proverbs 19, verse 27. In the Message Bible. Message Bible, please. Thank you. And it says, if you quit listening, dear child, and strike off on your own, you will soon be out of your depth. So he was talking about the importance of following instruction. You have to follow the instruction of fathers. Otherwise, you, without knowing it, you will veer off. And you just find out that you are on your own. And the Lone Ranger is not riding again. Today, God wants us to be united and enter into the purpose and the fullness of Christ together. Amen. So, we stop listening to erroneous doctrine. And more importantly, we keep listening and obeying instruction. And then finally, we saw that spiritual fathers can accurately discern our spiritual state even when they're not in the same physical location with us. And very important to understand that. So, because they keep praying for us every day, they're praying, they're always carrying us in their bosom in prayer before the Lord, they can pick when your submission goes down. They can pick when your obedience goes down. They can pick when there's disunity in the camp. And you know, it's the same way, you know, Paul was able to pick that the love of the Laodicean church was waning. Sorry, John was able to pick that the love of the Laodicean church was waning. Paul was able to pick and discern that there is immorality in the Corinthian church. And he corrected it without being there physically. So then you must understand that. So this is a spiritual body. And it operates by spiritual means. So that's why we need to reverence authority and live our lives in the fear of God. So like a general inspecting the army, they can behold your order. They can behold your joy with joy and see, you know, how you are standing in faith, in unity, in obedience. The same way a general will inspect his army. The whole army will stand at attention and nobody's twitching. Everybody's ramrod straight. Information. If they say attention, everybody's knees move at the same time, comes down at the same time. Total, complete unity. Amen. And that's the will of God. So the same way they can also pick these things, and they can. So when they are correcting, they're correcting. You know, they're correcting with understanding. God is showing them, and so they're correcting. So we also should cooperate with that. We should submit to correction. We should submit to the truth that they preach, so that we can stand in order, as it were, in the name of Jesus. And we saw finally that submission to truth in all of our relationships is what really gives us access to the power of God. You know, when you submit, then you give God the opportunity to show himself strong on your behalf. Amen. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect or fully submitted to him. So it's very important to understand that. So that's when the wisdom and the power of God flows, and it makes the difference, you know, in our lives, in our relationship. We saw the example of Abraham, you know, how, you know, he submitted to Lot. It was Lot that should have submitted to Abraham, but Abraham chose to submit to Lot. And Lot didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I should be the one to submit. So he gave Lot first pick. And Lot picked the good land. And then God now said, this land that you see that is barren, I will now convert it. And then God breathed upon the land. And Bible says it became a land of flowing hills and valleys. A land out of whose hills you dig out iron. And up till today, they can't understand how Israel is blessed and prosperous in a desert land. Give God a clap of hands. Amen. That is showing you that God is faithful when you submit. And that was the encouragement we received. Now, we now begin from verse 6. So let's read from verse 6, and we're going to from verse 6 to 10. Colossians chapter 2. Let's read together. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Next verse. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Next verse. Beware, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Next verse. For in him, in who? Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What a word. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. We're trusting God to help us today. Amen. So let's go back to verses 6 and 7. Thank you. So it says, as we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. He's saying that we should keep walking in him, and if we keep walking in him, we become rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The first thing here is this. You have to be taught. It is so important, the kind of teaching you listen to. That's why you need to listen to the whole counsel of God. I'm not going to go back to that again, but I think it's just important to underscore that what we saw in our previous lesson still has application here. Everything is about how you are taught. We have been built up a spiritual house. And you cannot build a house that is going to stand the test of time anyhow. You have to build it, you know, according to a specific pattern. And that pattern is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So really, it's important that the kind of word we receive is the full counsel of God that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Is extremely critical. Alright, so having mentioned that, we also see that we receive Christ. The Bible says, as you have received Christ. How did we receive Christ? We received Christ by grace. The Bible says, by grace are we saved through what? Faith. So we receive Christ by grace, by submitting to the truth of the word that was preached to us. Maybe your friend preached, or you heard a message, or you were in your room and you remembered something that the Holy Spirit brought to your mind that was in the Word. There are many ways it can be preached to you, okay? But you submitted to it, you made a confession with your mouth, and you acted upon it. That's how you got saved. Amen? That's how everybody gets saved, okay? So we believe with our heart, we confess with our mouth, and then we get saved, okay? And that is how we are going to continue in him. That's how you have to keep believing, keep receiving, keep submitting to the truth, keep confessing, keep declaring, and keep practicing. Amen. So we keep submitting. Let's say we keep submitting, we keep confessing, and we keep practicing. One more time. We keep submitting, we keep confessing, and we keep practicing. That's how we grow up in Him. It's the same way. So anytime you come to church, even when you hear the word of God, ask yourself, am I doing it? Am I confessing it? Because that's why it's coming to you again. Don't say, oh, I've heard this before. The question is, how much of it are you speaking? The Bible says, speaking the truth in love. We grow up into Him in all things. So you have to speak and do. So it's time for us to assess how much we're speaking and how much we're doing. And that's how we grow up to become like Him. Look at Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10. So important to just lay this foundation. Let's read it together. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Next verse. That if thou, see it's conditional, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Next verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It gets you born again. It gets you healed. It keeps you prosperous. It takes you to the fullness of Christ. That's the full salvation. Amen. It's the same principle. The principle of believing with the heart, which is truly submission. It's just submission. I accept it. Even though I may have my reservations, but I accept it in my heart. That is submission to truth. Full acceptance. Okay? And then we know, and then we now confess with our mouth. And that is how we are supposed, that's how we're going to actually grow up into Him in all things. Amen? And our Apostle Paul is enjoining the Colossian church to keep walking by faith. Now, why is this important? Because anytime you submit and you confess, you tap into resurrection power. Is very important. The power that gets you saved is the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead. So that power is set into operation by that principle that you just saw. The word that is nigh thee is believed. The word that is nigh thee is confessed. And then the power goes to effect the salvation. Whether it be healing, whatever change of your character, that power is well able to take you from anywhere you are and deposit you at the fullness of Christ. If we continue in it. Amen. So, and that is the will of God for us. Okay. Look at John chapter 1 verse 12. Very important principle. John chapter 1 verse 12. Thank you. Let's read it together. But as many as received Him, to them gave He what? Gave He what? To become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Believe on Him doesn't mean I believe in Jesus Christ. It means in Jesus' name I have life. That's what He's talking about. That's what believing on His name is in that concept. It's not just a once for all believing on His name. It's a continual believing on His name to keep receiving the life of God that brings light, that brings the power of God, which is that resurrection power He's talking about. Amen. And then the Amplified says, as many as received and welcomed Him, He gave authority, power, privilege, right to become the children of God. That is to those who believe and adhere to, trust in, and rely on His name. Amen. But the important word I want to say here is sons. It takes power to make sons. Because the heart of men is deceitful and desperately wicked. But the heart of sons is faithful, is pure, is loyal, is godly, is a clean heart, is a pure heart. And the power of God flows through, is a superconductor of the power of God. So really, Christianity is changing the heart. Amen. Changing the spirit, and then the soul and the body, you know, the soul and the spirit are then changed. That's the heart. The composite of the spirit and the soul. God does one and then gives you the power to do the other by His help. And then He takes you to the fullness of Christ. Amen. We're going to get there in Jesus' name. And as we do this, to be able to do this, you know, we need to practice the love of God. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Galatians chapter 5. Alright, let's read together. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by So for our faith to keep working, we keep walking in love. Divine love. Amen. And it's that part of divine love that makes us rooted and built up. In fact, when you are rooted, you are rooted in love. So love is the root that keeps you from being moved when the storms and the winds blow, as they surely come. But we have a strong confidence that we are rooted and built up. So it means that when you are rooted, the first thing God does is to root you. Then when you are rooted, you have a constant life source. So that life source now makes you built up. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. It's beautiful what God does. Amen. Father, we just thank you. All right. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Next verse. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. To be what? Strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Next verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by, that ye being rooted and grounded in, may be able to. But this is what I want to show you. That your faith is working by love. So when you are walking in love, guess what? Christ is dwelling in you by faith. So the faith, the evidence that Christ is dwelling in you is the love that you are walking in. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So really, the seal that God used to know those that are his is the love walk. That's the love walk. That's what really establishes you, you know, in Christianity, and causes you not to be moved left, right, and center, you know, by whatever is going around all over the place, okay? So we also see here the importance of deep intercession. Because without deep intercession, you cannot generate the spiritual power to produce love. Love is backed by power. There is power behind love. It's not easy to do love in the physical, by natural physical. The Bible says, my little children of my travail again in birth. Give me that. Galatians 4:19. Quickly. Until Christ be formed in you. Let's read it together. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again. Until what? Christ be formed in you. So travail forms Christ. If you don't travel, then to that degree, it takes away from the forming process of the Christ in you. It takes away from it. God will help us to walk in it in Jesus' name. That's why you can see, if you look in the church, you can see the general immaturity. Because people don't travel, so Christ is not mature. He's not formed. So we need to get into deep intercession, because that is what forms the Christ. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. It's travails that know that those children are sons. Thank you, sir. They are sons, mature sons. Amen. So we see that. And once we begin to abound in love, then we make our calling and election sure. Because it means that you are now set for spiritual first class. Amen. That's what he's trying to say. When you want to paint it in a way that you can understand, take it out of that and put it in the physical one. It's like a spiritual first class. So you set yourself, your GPA, when you're walking in love, your GPA is set. It's set. And you just maintain your GPA by increasing in love. And you graduate first class. Perfect, entire, wanting nothing. That's the will of God. We're going to get there in Jesus' name. Amen. So what are we saying? We are saying that the fruit of the Spirit establishes us. And a lack of the fruit of the Spirit makes us vulnerable to stumbling and falling. So we need to walk in love. Because that's how you increase. Don't count it all joy when there's an opportunity to walk in love. Because it's an opportunity to be further established. To be further rooted. To be further built up. And to abound therein with thanksgiving. Okay? Alright, look at next verse. Verse 8. Thank you. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Again, we go back to what we said the last time. Okay? Now, Apostle Paul is again warning soberly. He's mentioned this about 3 or 4 times since chapter 1. Talking about, because this was a problem in Colossae. There were so many ideas, many arguments. And one important ideology that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring out today is humanism. Humanism. Everything, humanism is doing good by the power of human, by human power to fulfill human standards. And it looks like a substitute, an effective substitute for love, but it's a lie. It's a big lie. So you do good works. You know, you do so many good things. You do social work. But their souls are not being saved. Their hearts are not being changed. Their character is not getting better. So what are you doing? It's actually a trap to lure us out. Those intellectual arguments. And that's why, you know, as a born-again Christian, when I was younger, you know, I used to want to be in a situation where I can explain the gospel to every Christian I meet, or anybody I meet. Or when somebody comes and says, "Are you this Christian? Oh yeah, come and answer this question." I want to be able to argue it effectively. But then God told me, you don't have to do that. I didn't call you to do that. Because sometimes in trying to do that, you swallow something that makes you vomit the truth of God's word. Cease to hear instruction that causes you to err from the words of knowledge. If it's not in the Bible, chalk it out. If it's not in Christ, it doesn't matter how good it sounds, chalk it out. It is man-centered. And the gospel of God is God-centered. Man is not the one marking your report card. So if they say that you don't even understand what you believe, that's their verdict. The value that is important to you and I is God's verdict. And with time you will understand it properly, and then you can see the bottom in their argument, and you can puncture a hole in it. But that's not the measure of your Christianity. Puncturing, that's not the aim of the Christian. You're not supposed to be puncturing the argument. So just walk away. The Bible says that when you perceive a person doesn't have the word of knowledge inside them, leave them alone, walk away. Leave a fool to himself. Silence is the best answer for a fool. Yeah, thank you, sir. Bible says, answer not a fool, lest thou be like unto him. So as you are trying to answer him, you'll be saying things, and those things will be affecting your heart, sowing seeds that later germinate, and you wonder, where did this seed come from? So brethren, it's important to avoid it. Amen. Alright. So culture, human tradition, give it back to me. Okay, thank you. Tradition of men, rudiments of the world. Another important thing that you see here is technology. In our own day today, it is a rudiment of this age. Technology. Some people worship technology. Everything has to be technological. Smart homes, smart watches, smart cars. They haven't yet made smart wives. All right? But everything else is smart. Smart cars, smart briefcase, everything is smart. I tell you, what do you want me to do? Your computer will be talking to you. There's robotics. I know it's a God. If it takes the place of God in your mind, if it takes the place of God in your time, if it takes the place of God in your affection, guess what? It's become your God. So I'm not saying you're going to go and bow down to the smart one. I'm saying that the smart one disturbs you during church. When you're reading your Bible, somebody will Snapchat you. Somebody will send you WhatsApp. Somebody will, you know, there's somebody, like some pastor has said something beautiful. You know, that one man said, and he said, the man said, okay, he didn't use iPad. He took a phone and said, "You have your Bible here?" Everybody said, "Yes." Then he brought out a regular traditional Bible and said, you have your Bible here? "Yes." "Now, what do you have here?" "The Word of God." "Okay. What do you have here?" "The Word of God, Snapchat, WhatsApp, Instagram, text, Facebook, everything."
And all this can distract you from the word of God here. So stop using this word of God and keep using this word of God. In church, use this word of God. So that why not the young God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Stay with the old, like Pastor Andrew. The old wine is better than the new. Amen. All right. Of course, good to have your Bible everywhere. You understand what I mean? You have many versions. I understand that. But in church, use the one that will not distract you. Amen. Enough said. Okay. All right. The other thing I want to mention here is that the importance of this human tradition and all this is what they do is that they lure you away from Christ, and there is a default power in the air. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 20 very quickly. 1 Corinthians 4:20. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 4:20. Let's read together. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in its power. It's not about the fineness of the argument. It's by the power that the argument is releasing into your life to change you. It's the power. So once you disconnect, how do you disconnect? By not believing, by not confessing, and by not doing. When you stop believing, really, the others will just fall off. Once you stop believing. So once you stop believing and holding on to and holding fast to, guess what happens? A default power sets in. You don't have to voluntarily give it place. It automatically takes over because there is no vacuum. Prince of Power, the Ephesians 2:2. Just give me Ephesians 2:2 quickly. You know, it's very subtle. It's a power issue, brethren. So wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. So there's a river that is direct. That's why it's talking about course. There's a river of power directing the world. According to the prince of the power of the air. That power is where? In the air. And the spirit that now walks in the journey. So it affects your attitude. It affects your thoughts. It affects your choices. It affects everything without you necessarily knowing that it is. So when you submit, you deliberately plug into God and the power of God flows through you. When you don't submit, nothing changes, but you've automatically unplugged from God and the devil has plugged in without your permission. So that's how Christians can be a portal. My pastor was teaching us beautifully. You can be a portal without knowing it, without signing for it. Just use your spirit. And as you are speaking out confession, you are releasing his power, not God's power. And you didn't plan on that. Because you are not submitted to the truth of the word of God, to the instruction of the word of God. So there is no, the Bible says, choose life. I have said before today, life and death. There is no middle ground. There is no life, death. There is no middle ground. It's either life. If not, the consequence is death. Even if it's looking nice and rosy, it's death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So once you are going in the way you think you are going, and it's not in line with the instruction of God at that time, guess what? So it's so easy to step out. That's why we have to be fully submitted to the will of God. Amen. God will help us in Jesus. That's why Paul was teaching it. Because it's so easy to come out of it. That's why. Okay. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Give God a super clap of it. Lord Jesus Christ. In him. Give me Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. Quickly. So begin to round up. Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. Have that. Let's read it together. Saying with a loud voice, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That is the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. It's seven. Complete. It's seven. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Guess what? You can get the same power. God wants to share that fullness. Hallelujah. Ah, you are going to share that fullness in Jesus' name. But you see, it is everybody at their own level. The level of submission determines the level of the fullness that is allowed to come to you. So you can use what you can handle, what you have paid for, that you're going to get. You know, if you go to want to buy a car now, Pastor G is driving a different, on a different level now. Sorry, bros. I'm so sorry. I couldn't help that. Hallelujah. Now, bros is high and lifted up. Sorry, sir. I'm stopping now. Amen. But you know what I mean? It doesn't cost the same. Does it cost the same? Now, let's see how we can pay the price. Give it to me, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Quickly. Thank you. Quickly. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind. So, it's a submission thing. Submission is in the will and the mind. You know, some, by Bible, Pastor taught us beautifully, and you should get that weekly memo about setting your heart aright. Your will can say yes, and your mind is grumbling. As the Bible says, obey and submit. Submission is in the heart, is in the mind. Go, 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 go. Okay. Let this mind be, which also was in Christ Jesus. Next verse. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So equality with God was a right. It wasn't a robbery. It was right. Okay, next verse. But, that's a big but. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Submission, which is the form of man. And was made in the likeness of man. Next verse. Next verse. And being found in fashion as a man, he... So there's no end to the submission. You keep submitting. How long, Pastor Kunle? As long as God says. You keep submitting to instruction. You keep submitting to the truth. And allow God to fight your battles for you. Next verse. And became what? Obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Next verse. Wherefore? That is the wherefore. God also has what? Highly exalted him and had given him a name which is above every name. Why? Because he's submitted above everybody. So he is worthy to receive a name above every name. Now guess what? The degree to which you now submit is the degree to which you will get a name. Depending on the level. God help us to keep submitting. So when you keep submitting, I know the people will say you look like a fool. You are not looking like a fool. Remember, whose report will you believe? It's God that is God you have to be looking at. You have to be heeded to what God is saying, not what people are saying. And keep submitting because God will now fight your battle for you. Case in point, Joseph submitted. Okay, the wedding was in Potiphar's house. The woman was eyeing him. Now that we know the story, and he spoke to her and tried to reason with her, but it's a power thing. When she's with him and he's talking to her, it will go down again. When she's away from him, the thing will come back on her again, and her body will be shaking. And she'll be looking. So it's one day she just planned for him. So you know the story. He ran away and left his shirt and ran away. All right, and now she used the shirt against him. She was lying. The facts of the case were that she was lying. Joseph could have faced the facts and said, "Oh God, I didn't do anything." Fact. And God can attest to it. But God said, "Shut up." God said, "Keep quiet." God said, "Don't say anything. Honor your master. How will he be said outside? Honor him. He's been good to you. Not because of her, because of him." So guess what? He submitted and went down to prison. He took the fall. Thank you, sir. He took the fall and went even lower. when he was trusting God, his prayer was that he would go higher. His confession that he would go higher. But instead of going higher, he went lower. But when he got lower, it was in that lower place he had to connect to the people that God was going to use not them. God was going to use something that happened to them to make a way for him. What are we saying? In the prison, he submitted. And he took other people. He didn't say, "But what your foolish dream? I don't know about any dream. You know what? Know why I'm here? Am I supposed to be here? I'm not on your level, though. It's just because I'm here. I don't know why God put me here." You know, you can have that kind of attitude. You can have that kind of attitude. Instead, he said, "What is your dream? Let me help you. What's your own? Let me help you." Bible says they forgot him. Not that they didn't forget. They didn't forget. They forgot. It means that he was divinely inspired. I will pray and say, "May God forget." God will not forget us in Jesus' name. But it is that you have to wait until God's time. Brethren, what are we saying? Submit and wait until God's time. When God's time came, could the head of the prison stop him? Could the butler and the baker stop him? Could Potiphar's wife stop him? Potiphar himself, could he stop him? Submit until God exalts you. Submit until God exalts you. When he does it, he'll do it in a special way. There is no other way that you could have gotten that way except God's way. God's way is the shortcut. God's way is the shortcut. Any other way is roaming around in the wilderness. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. So we see that. Okay. All right. Let's round up now. Verse 10. "And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Amen. All right. So Jesus is the head of all principality and power. We know that he spoiled them. We saw that in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9. Let's just look at it again. Colossians 1:19 is very important. Okay. Give that part to me where it says that his four principalities and power made an open show over them. 2:19. Sorry. I thought it was 19. Okay. No. No, give it 2:19. 2:19. 2:19. All right. No. Right. No, it's not this. Where he says the spoil is about. Okay, let me just move on because I don't want to waste time. So, but the truth is this. When you get it, you can put it up. Okay? All right. Jesus is the head of all principalities. The Bible says he spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show over them, triumphing over them in the cross. So that he has authority, then he has power to subdue them. Now, as we grow up into Christ in all things, we also now have that authority. Our voice is now recognized in the heavens by the grace of God. Amen. When you bind, it's bound. When you loose, it's loosed. So the submission gives you authority. When you live a life of submission, it gives you authority to subdue. So what are we saying? We're saying that we can partake of that fullness as we grow up in every area of our life. Look at James chapter 1, verse 2. That's how we grew up. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Thank you, 2:15. Okay. James 1 says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's complete. Now you are complete in him spirit. But to be complete in him in your soul, you need to go through this process. And this process is when you have to practice love. Different temptations are allowed to come, but nothing will allow to come that we cannot handle. Amen. And when it comes, you now exercise the love of God in that situation. And when you do that, you are complete. Look at the Amplified. Give it to me in Amplified. No, give it James 2:4 in the Amplified version. Amplified Bible. James 2:4 in the Amplified Bible. No. Yes. No, James 1:1. Sorry, 1:4. Yes. Yeah. James 1:4. Thank you. But let endurance and what? Steadfastness and what? Patience. Have what? Full play. And do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed. That's the complete. With no defects, lacking in nothing. That's the will of God for us. That's how we are complete. So we are complete in Him in the Spirit, but we now grow into that completeness by learning submission and obedience, or walking in love, the same thing, okay? And then access to spiritual power. It's very important you understand that. There's power available to save the soul. There's power, wisdom available to deliver you in every temptation you find yourself. But you now have to allow the power to flow by submitting to the revealed will of God to you in that situation, by operating spiritual law, confessing, and then allowing that power to work for long enough. That's why you need steadfastness, patience, and what? Endurance. So Christianity is a marathon. Obstacle marathon. But the Bible shows us that we can get there. We will get there. Amen. As we keep holding faith and patience to be able to inherit the promises. Let us pray. Talk to God. Maybe you've been weary of submitting. You submitted to a certain level. You feel, I'm tired. Person's not responding. Let patience have a perfect work. Don't give up. The Bible says that we're prisoners. You know, Paul was talking, he says, I'm a prisoner of God. So walk worthy of the vocation whereunto you have been called. In all lowliness and meekness of heart, submission, forbearing one another in love, with long suffering, endeavoring to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It takes effort, it takes power. Don't give up. It takes power to keep your attitude submitted. Jesus had to do it. You also need to do it. We also do it. We submit our wills. Pray your will and your mind into submission. And then do the will of God. So God can have a reason to exalt you. The Bible says that God is the one that highly exalted him. God is going to highly exalt you. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He wants to do it. This is desire. Give him the opportunity. Don't disconnect and allow iniquity to work. And now fight for yourself. Let God fight for you, so you can grow up and be built up, rooted in love. I bow my knees before your throne. I know my life is not my own. I love the rock, this song. Yeah.
bring you pleasure.
One more time.
I seek the giver. I seek the giver, not the gift.
Your left hand on your heart as we pray under the covering of our fathers. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, showing me and teaching me that you want me to continue to endure submission to truth, to instruction, with obedience to instruction, so that resurrection power and wisdom and glory and blessing and might and honor can be my portion. Heavenly Father, like Jesus, the pattern son, I choose to submit to you, trusting you that you are well able to deliver me and to take me from where I am to where you want me to be, causing Christ to be perfected in me and making me complete in him, so that I can also rule over principalities and powers the way he does from his throne. Help me, Father. Grant me mercy to be faithful, grace to be diligent, so I will continue and I will not drop in my steadfastness and endurance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rale de basa, je kan konge di bamaya, rene na mau pa potato pe, je ko pa pe kau, ropa ba pe pe, je ka so pe le de be, pe ka le be re, pe ka le be re, rapa kare, ropa po sale lan, repa pa ka kuai, je nga um samba konge ka, le pe le de be, rop de kaka, zefre bala, rene de basa, je fre mia, rano, pe ka le be re, rone basata, rop de pike kayo. Rodevea, Jean de Bossata, Rene Paco Ban, Rossetai, Rom de Vedia, Rene de Bobanco, Rene de Vea, Jolebos, Rene de Besota, Jenke de Bossaverian, Beke de Viberian and Aman. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.